but a lot of people do a lot of crying. And what are we really trying to accomplish on this day? What is happening on this day? So there's a pasuk in Tehillim 139. It says, the days were fashioned, and one of them is his. So the Midrash says, the one of them that is his is Yom Kippur. Meaning there is one day a year where we see the world the way he sees the world. And on that day, you can get atonement. Everything you did, the trash of your past, can be turned into the treasure of your future. All that happening on this day. The question is how? How does this work? And why is this such an important topic? Because I believe that a lot of people are living with a baggage of a past they haven't let pass. And they haven't let go of their past. And I think that most people, this should be a day of forgiveness, but I'm more concerned not about Hashem forgiving us, but we not forgiving ourselves and believing enough in Hashem's forgiveness. So I want to share with you how Yom Kippur actually works. You know, there's a basic idea in Torah that when something bad happens to you, then there's a bracha that you say, which is Baruch Dayan Ha'emet. Blessed are you who is a true judge. When something good happens to us, we say Baruch Tov HaMeitiv. Blessed are you who is good and gives good. What is this about? How can I even understand such a thing? This Gemara is telling us that in the future, we're going to look back at all the tragedies that befell the Jewish people, like the Holocaust. And we're going to look back at it and we're going to say, Hashem Tov Meitiv, Hashem is good. That everything that looked terrible, horrifying, torturous, turns into a gift, a blessing. How do we see that? We only see that when we see things from Hashem's perspective. From our perspective, we can't see that. From Hashem's perspective, suddenly, it can all make sense. Now, I think we can apply the same ideas, and soon I'm going to show you, to also the bad things that we did. That it's possible that we can look back at the bad things that we did, and we'll see how somehow mysteriously all that darkness can be converted into light. All that trash can be turned into treasure. How does it work? How does it work? The Ramchal explains that there's two perspectives on the oneness of God. One is called Yichud Shlitato, the oneness of his sovereignty. And the other one is called Yichud Mitziyuto, the oneness of his reality. The oneness of his sovereignty is kind of standard monotheism. There's one king, one boss, he runs the world. You make choices, you go against his will, but he'll let you have it. You'll get what you deserve, you will pay the consequences. But don't mess with the boss, because he's stronger than you. All right, the Seder, he is the single sovereignty, you don't have sovereignty. Yichud Mitziyuto is much deeper than that. Because Yichud Shlitato, Hashem, you go up against Hashem, you're not going to win. He'll beat you down. And you'll pay the consequences. But Yichud Mitziyuto is, he doesn't need to beat you down. He doesn't need to enforce anything. Because everything you do is going to work out for his plans. That's amazing. That's amazing. Everything you do is going to work out for his plans. So what we hear in this idea is the fine difference in terms of our choices. You can choose to do other than Hashem's will, but you can never go against Hashem's will. Because everything you do will always serve his purpose. Always serve his purpose. This is the story of Yosef and his brothers. The brothers decide they're going to sell their brother and stop this dreamer and protect themselves from his plan. And what did they do? Everything they chose to do ended up actually fulfilling his plan. Nobody got in the way. And everything they chose to do ends up serving the plan. Same thing with Haman. We are taught that this is Yom HaKippurim. This is a day that's like Purim. The Zohar says it's like Purim, Kippurim. What possible resemblance is there between Yom HaKippurim and Yom Kippurim, and Yom Purim? I mean, Purim is a day where people are celebrating and eating and getting drunk and dancing. What does that get to do with Yom HaKippurim? The story of choice. Because the story of Purim is Yichud Mitziyuto. The story of Pesach is Yichud Shlitato. Pesach is, there's a king, he's an evil king, and he's trying to go against Hashem's will. Hashem says, okay, I'll stop you. I'm going to give you 10 plagues. I'm going to drown your army. But that seems to be that somehow Paro does have control, but Hashem has more control. But on Purim, we see that Haman has no control. He has so little control that Hashem doesn't have to get in the way at all. Because on Purim, Haman is allowed to make his choices and step by step carry out his plans. And mysteriously, every step he takes to destroy us ends up being the very thing that saves us. And Hashem's name isn't even there. He's so present, you don't even notice him. Because his entire truth embraces everything that happens. On Yom Kippur, we're discovering how things look from Hashem's perspective. From Hashem's perspective, everything you did will serve his purpose. Everything you did will serve the purpose of the Almighty Good, for sure. So then, what is the point of our choices? Yom Kippur is telling us that you can let go of the past if you do tshuva. If you do tshuva, if you say, you know what, I acknowledge this was the wrong choice. I feel bad about that choice. I wish I didn't make that choice. And I choose to never do that again, never choose to do that again. Then let go. Hashem will put his name on the event. A lot of people are living with the sense that there's this past that haunts them forever. No. You might have done something in the past, and if you could change it, then you should try to change it. But if you can't change it, but you do tshuva, and you say, I regret that I chose that. I wish I didn't choose that. I choose to never choose that again. Your name is not on that Avera anymore. Your name is not that on that event anymore. That's Yom Kippurim. You can be completely cleansed of your past. Completely cleansed of your past. I'll give you an example. My family was in a terrible accident 20 years ago. Terrible accident. There are still members of the family that suffer injuries because of the accident. The accident was basically a religious guy that got into his van, but he did not sleep that night. He was in a hurry to get challahs for Shabbos, and he fell asleep at the wheel. He should not be driving when he's tired. That was wrong. That was wrong. But he did that anyways. Well, he lost control of his car. His car flipped over. It was a rainy day. And on the roof of the car is on and it's zooming in the direction of our car, and it's spinning like a dreidel, and it's head-on collision, and I'll save you the gory details. It was a terrible, terrible accident, months and months and months of recuperating, and still there are injuries that members of our family are suffering. Now, how do I feel about this guy? No, I feel nothing. I don't have any hard feelings towards this guy. Well, are you a big tzaddik? No, I'm not a big tzaddik. Well, how can you have that? How can you feel that? That this guy is responsible for injuries, life injuries of your family. Why? Because I don't believe he did that. His mistake is he chose to get in his car. But infinite things could have happened in his car. He could have spinned off the highway and not hit anybody. He could have hit somebody else. And the amazing thing is that his car is spinning on its roof and then rolls off the highway and he walks out of his car without a scratch. And my family is suffering injuries. That's Akash Baruch's job. That's already his department. This man's department was the choice he made, and that was a terrible choice. The consequence of his choice, that's Hashem's department. That's Hashem's department. Does this guy have to do tshuva? Absolutely. He has to do tshuva. He has to regret that he chose to get in his car when he was tired. He has to recognize it was wrong. He has to deeply regret and wish that he didn't make that choice. And he has to accept upon himself never, ever to do that again. And once he did that, done. Whatever happened has nothing to do with him. Nothing to do with him. Hashem says, I take your name off that. I put my name on that. Because I run the world. And everything that happens will serve my purpose. Well, if that's the case, if everything I choose to do will ultimately serve Hashem's purpose, then what difference does it make what I choose to do? You know what? For Hashem, it doesn't make any difference. His plan will be, his will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's in control. Nothing you do could ever defy his purpose. Everything you do will serve his purpose of bringing good to the world. Well, so then what's wrong? Well, so then why not choose to do bad? You know why? Your choice is much more serious than the act that you generate. Your choice defines who you are. That's a lot more serious than determining your behavior. Because if you knew Einod Milvado, there's nothing but a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We exist within him. We are a part of him. Why in the world would you choose to do other than his will? Now that's ridiculous. If my finger knew who it was, and I would say to my finger, point. And it says, you know what? You're not going to tell me what to do. I'm not going to point. You're crazy. You're insane. That's why it says, the Gemara says that the person that chooses to do a sin has gone insane. Don't you know who you are? You're a chelek elokam imal. You are a soul. A soul is literally a part of God. Why would a part of Hashem, my all-embracing context of life, why would I choose to go against? And that's just crazy. That's just insane. So our choices are so much more serious than the actions they generate. Our choices are defining who we are. When you choose to do other than Hashem's will, that can only be because you are defining yourself as separate, independent, self-contained, isolated, and set apart from Hashem. When in truth, you are never apart from Hashem, you are a part of Hashem. If you're going to choose to do other than Hashem's will, then you must be crazy. You have the wrong definition of who you are. And so, Yom Kippur is a day of atonement. Because on Yom Kippur, I see everything from Hashem's perspective. And from Hashem's perspective, even the worst things that happened in history are all good. We can't, from our perspective, no way we could understand it. Yom Kippur Hashem says, I'm going to give you 20-20 hindsight. Even the bad things you did, and even the terrible consequences that were generated by the choices, I'll put my name on it. I'll take care of that. Whatever came out of your choices, I can recycle. It's all going to be good. Just do tshuva. Let go and let God. I'm hoping that this guy who hit our car, I hope he doesn't live torturing himself, that people are suffering because of him. Because if that's the case, he's taking ownership of what's not his department. That's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's department. And don't stick your nose in a Kodesh Baruch Hu's department. What happens is a Kodesh Baruch Hu's department. What you choose is your department. As it says, Hakol bidei shemayim chutz me yira shemayim. All is in the hands of Hashem, but yira. Yira is an attitude. Yira is, I choose to revere Hashem and know Einod Mevado, and why in the world would a part of a Kodesh Baruch Hu try and do something that would imply that I am set apart from a Kadosh Baruch. I would never do that. I would never do that. That's, to me, the great news from the Jews. Because I believe that a lot of people, their future has been destroyed by their past. They keep living their past. Everything would have been different had I not done this. Everything, especially Balei Tshuva. There's so many things that they feel so terrible about that, oh my gosh, I did this, I did that, I did this. How could I ever do tshuva for that? What are you talking about? Did you recognize it was wrong? Yeah. Do you wish you didn't do that? Yeah. Do you choose never to do that again? Yeah. Let go. Hashem knows what he's doing. If it happened, it's part of his plan. And if it happened, then Hashem can recycle it. Don't worry about that. Not your department. Not your department. Stick to your department. Make choices of Yirat Shemayim. Are you choosing to behave in a way that Yirat Shemayim directs you to do? If you are, great. That's your job. That's your department. That's your department. So this is really the Purim story, and that's why it's Yom Kippurim. Because it's like Purim. Just like on Purim, we get drunk so much that we say, blessed is Haman. How could we ever bless Haman? Because even Haman is serving Hashem's plan. He has no independent existence. Even Haman is serving Hashem's plan. And so on Yom Kippur, we get the fast track to Olam Haba, to where Ein Od Mavado, what is happening in Olam Haba, Ein Achila, Ein Shtiya, we don't drink, we don't eat. That's why we're not eating and drinking on Yom Kippur, because we're not in this world. We're in Olam Haba for one day. And in Olam Haba, we're not eating, we're not drinking, as well as in Olam Haba, we're just sitting in Nanim Aziv Shechina. We're just sitting there and we're embraced by the presence of Hashem. Ein Od Mavado. There's nothing but Hashem. Yom Kippur, we just don't relate to our bodies. Because it's our bodies that are confusing us. Our bodies are convincing us that we are self-contained, self-sufficient, independent, set apart from the rest of reality. Adam and Eve did not have bodies of skin. They had bodies of light. But when they sinned, they redefined themselves. And that was what happened to their sin. Because the snake is saying, you know what? The reason why Hashem doesn't want you to eat from that tree is because he doesn't want you to be so powerful. Because he knows on the day that you'll eat from the tree, you'll be as powerful as he is. He can't have that. He's trying to keep you under his control. Yichud shlitato. He wants to maintain the singleness of his sovereignty. Well, Adam and Eve should have said, you know what? It's not just yichud shlitato. There's not just the single sovereignty. Yichud mitziyuto. There's really nothing but Hashem. So it's one thing there's a king and I'm his subject and he's over here and I'm over there and I'm rebelling and he's going to put down my rebellion. Oh, no, no, no. There isn't me over here and him over there. There's just him. And I exist within him. And if I knew that I exist within him and I was a part of him, why would I behave and make a choice based on thinking I am apart from him and I am separate from him? So after Adam and Eve chose to eat of the tree of Hashem, of knowledge, and they chose to embrace the lie of the snake that you exist separate from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And as soon as they bought into that, this is now the perception they live in. Here we are in these bodies telling us there's me, there's you, maybe there's God somewhere over there. So on Yom Kippur, forget about your body. Forget about your, don't eat, don't drink, don't put lotions on your body, and take off your shoes. Now, we think taking off the shoes is just not, you know, it's not comfortable. Well, but today, shoes are very comfortable, even if they're not leather. Some people even prefer, I think most people aren't even wearing leather shoes anymore. So what do we do now? Well, one of the deeper understandings of taking off our shoes is taking off our body. See, the shoe represents our body. Our shoe to our body is like our body to our soul. The shoe only covers a very small part of our body. And our body only covers a smaller part of our soul. You are much greater. More of you is out of your body than in your body. Problem is, when you sin, you just collapse into your body. And you think, this is me. I'm inside here. Cut off from everything outside there. That's a bad choice. Because you are defining yourself separate from Hashem. That's Gehenna. To feel isolated and alienated and disconnected from the very ground and essence and context of your being, a Kaddish Baruch. And so, on Yom Kippur, we do something outrageous. It's called the scapegoat. Seir Azazel. This is unbelievable. Kohen Gadol has these two goats. One for Hashem. They draw lots. One for Hashem. One for Azazel. Who is Azazel? According to Kabbalah, Azazel is a demon. And we're going to bring an offering to a demon on Yom Kippur. This service on Yom Kippur, any other day of the year, would be considered Avodah Zorah. It would be considered the epitome of the opposite of Hashem's will. And suddenly, on Yom Kippur, it's fulfilling Hashem's will. Hashem's saying, you know what? I want you to know, even if you did something that's the opposite of my will, even that could fulfill my will. Because your department is the choices. My department is everything that happens after the choice. So you take care of your department and do tshuva, and I'll clean out the rest. So just let go and don't keep holding on to stuff from your past. And I just meet a lot of people who are suffering, just suffering for no reason. It's for no reason whatsoever. We're so connected to Hashem. We're always connected to Hashem. But in the Olam Haba consciousness, the possibility of feeling that connection is greater. So we're taught by our rabbis that we should confess on this day. Just let it rip. Just remember every single wrong thing you did, because on this day, it'll all turn into gold. Now, how does it turn into gold? You see, imagine you have a fight, in this case, with your husbands, I guess. You know, and it's not comfortable, and the decibels are going and they're rising and the volume is getting very loud, and people are saying things that they're going to regret, but they don't realize it right now. And he slams the door, he runs out of the house, but as he's running down the street, now maybe you guys in Sfat, maybe in the alleys there, he suddenly realizes, how can I say that to my soulmate? Suddenly he sees your eyes under the chuppah. He says, am I crazy? How can I speak that way to my soulmate? And he turns back and he sees you peeking out the window with a tear down your eyes, you know, your cheek. And then he starts running in slow motion back home, and music starts playing in the background. And at that moment, in that moment of such deep connection, in both your mind, you say, that was such a good fight. We got to do this like often. I've never felt so connected to my husband since that. That is great. You know, the fight just turned into like, wow, glue. We should plan this, but you don't have to plan it because it comes up on its own. So many, you know, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Why? Because when you suddenly realize and think you were far, that sets the stage of realizing, oh my gosh, We're so not far. On Yom Kippur, it's like a mikvah. Kodesh Baruch Hu is your mikvah. You literally embraced, you are immersed. Not even a hair can separate you. You are literally one with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And so when you're one with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and you confess all the stupid things you did based on thinking you're separate from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, all that turns into generated even greater consciousness. How I'm connected to Kodesh Baruch. How I'm connected. And all those mistakes we made can turn into credit. Debit turns into credit. Darkness turns into light. The distance is what enables us to feel even closer. So on Yom Kippur, when the light of love is shining, Einod Melvado, you are embraced by his light. You are immersed in it, and he's immersed in you. Nothing but a Kodesh Baruch. From that state of mind, you start doing tshuva. All the bad can turn into actually supporting, enhancing the consciousness of how connected I was. Some explain that that's actually what Adam and Chava were thinking. They thought, you know, we should be bal tshuvas. My kids say this. I can't say I'm a bal tshuva because that would imply that I've done tshuva. Okay, but people think I'm a bal tshuva. My kids say, Daddy, I want to be a bal tshuva. I'm an FFB, and I'm a firm from birth. Why can't I be like you? You know, why can't I be like you? And, you know, I understand them. I understand them. As the Gemara says, that where a bal tshuva reaches, a tzaddik gemor, someone who is a tzaddik their whole life, doesn't reach that level. Because when you've been close all along, how much could you know that you're close? You know, let's say you're rich, and all your friends are rich. You live in a rich country. And every show on television is about rich people. You've never even heard of poor people. Are you rich? Would you even know you're rich? No way. You know, no way. You know, I used to teach an actor called Kirk Douglas. He told me an amazing thing. He told me, I gave my children everything, but there was a gift I could not give them that my parents gave me, poverty. My kids never grew up with poverty. So they really don't understand what they have. But I know what it means to be in a family of 10 members with one egg for all of us, not each of us, all of us for dinner. So when I sit in my mansion in Beverly Hills, I feel it. I feel it. And so Adam and Chava says, you know what? Let's be bal tshuvas. Let's sin, and then we'll do tshuva, and we'll be able to feel the echad so much deeper. Well, you're just not allowed to do that. The Rambam says a person should not say echtev eshuv. I will sin and then I will repent. Because maybe you won't repent. Wait a second. Shouldn't the Rambam say, that's ridiculous. You can't say I'll sin and repent. No, the Rambam's saying, you know what? It makes sense what you're saying. But it's not a good plan. Because who says you're going to do tshuva? But it makes sense. Because choosing to do other than Hashem's will and realizing how insane that is and choosing back and say, oh my gosh, I was crazy. You just win the jackpot of deeper consciousness of Hashem's oneness. So on Yom Kippur, you all know that we say the Shema out loud and we say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto out loud. Now that's very strange. All year long we say Baruch Shem Kavod, blessed is his kingly name, quietly. The Gemara says, why do we do this? The Gemara says it's like a princess. The princess has been gripped by a disease called bulimus. Bulimus is very dangerous. It's a craving for a food, and if you don't give a person this food that they're craving, they could die. You know. Well, what do? The princess has a craving for a food called tziki. What exactly tziki is, I don't know, but it's not royal food. It's like a princess craving a pizza. Like, what? Princess is craving a pizza. What are we going to do? We're going to call a Pizza Hut and have a pizza delivered to the palace? What a busha. What an embarrassment. What are we going to do? Right, but if we don't give her the pizza, she's going to die. If we give her the pizza, it's an incredible embarrassment to her royalty. So what do? We have it delivered to the back door, okay? So too, our sages say that saying Baruch Shem Kavod is an embarrassment to the Jewish people. We should just say Shema Yisrael, because Shema Yisrael is Einod Mevado, there's nothing but a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yichud Mitziyuto, there's nothing but the oneness of his reality. We exist within him, we're a part of him, there's nothing but him, even though we're not him. Yichud Shlitato is, blessed be his kingly name, he's a king. So, but we need it. We're not ready for Yichud Mitziyuto. So we need it. We need monotheism. We need to relate to Hashem as a king somewhere over there telling us what to do. But really, we should be saying Shema Yisrael. But Baruch Shem Kavod is not becoming. It is not complementary to who we are. And suddenly on Yom Kippur, we announce out loud that we're not perfect. And we say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto out loud. Because even things that are negative on Yom Kippur can be turned around. It can all be turned around. That even the Tzir Azazel, the antithesis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, can fulfill HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. And all you gotta do is say sorry. You know, when I was a kid, there was a movie called Love Story. And, you know, somehow people give tremendous respect to these movies as if they're like, movies mean a shemayim. And there was one phrase in this movie that became like a mitzvah, you know, a consciousness. It was on Valentine cards and it was on t-shirts. It was, love means never saying sorry. This is the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. Destroyed probably a generation. Love means never having to say sorry. Well, you know what? Love means saying sorry and knowing that because we love each other, I can say sorry and it's going to be okay. Not only that, but when I say sorry, what I did wrong is going to turn into something that will actually enhance our relationship. And so saying sorry is not going to preserve the past. It's going to transform the past into energy that will enhance our future. This is Yom Kippur. It's a day, forget about your body. Your body's been convincing you that you're self-contained, self-sufficient, independent, isolated, and disconnected from Yichud Mitziyuto Einod Mavado. Forget about that. We're taking a fast track to Olam Haba. Where Olam Haba is Einod Mavado. We can look at all the mistakes we made in the past. It all served Hashem's plan. So just let go of that. Just say, I'm sorry. So that's what I'd like to share. And I'd be happy to hear your questions. And thank you again, Judy, for inviting me. Any questions? I know people are always uncomfortable with the first question, so we'll just go to the second question.
There's a question in the chat.
I don't read chats, but okay, I'll read it out.
Okay, I can say it. Hey, Rabbi Aaron, this is Jody Sugar from the Rova a long time ago.
Oh my God, Jody Sugar.
Okay.
Famous photographer.
So my question is, why is saying Baruch Shem Kavod not complimentary for us?
Because we should be on the Madrega of saying Einod Mavado. Baruch Shem Kavod is saying there's me, there's God, he's over there, I'm over here, he's stronger than me, I can do some bad things, but why mess with him? Because he's going to let me have it, and I'm going to suffer the consequences. But I did make a choice, and I did carry out my plan, and I did go against his will, and I'm going to suffer for the consequences of that. That's not the highest madrega. That's really not the ultimate truth. But we do need to believe that, because believing in Einod Mavado is a very dangerous idea. So monotheism is telling us you're not God. And we need to train you to know you're not God. Now that you know you're not God, we're going to tell you there's nothing but God, and you're still not God, but you exist within him, you're a part of him, and there's nothing but him. But first, let's work on you're not God. And to teach you you're not God, we've been saying that God is some being over there, and we're separate from him, but he's more powerful than us. And that is not becoming us. We should be greater than that. But we're not. We need it right now educationally. But now on Yom Kippur, we can say it out loud, because even something that is not complementary to who we are, not up to our highest self, even that serves a purpose. Even that can be seen as something good. But only on Yom Kippur or Am Purim, where we actually bless Haman. And suddenly the evil man actually served God's plan. But that doesn't help Haman, because Haman lives a cursed life because he chose other than Hashem's will, because he doesn't believe this God at all. So he just created his own Gehenna. Did that help, Jody? You disappeared. I see a baby.
Yeah, sorry. Hi. Yeah, my granddaughter.
Are these teachings
giving you a little bit.
Your birth?
What?
You seem born again over there. I see suddenly you turned into a little baby.
No, I have a new granddaughter. She's like 2.5 weeks old.
Okay. She's cute. Right, that should be down to her elbows, you know, if you're really born.
Okay. All right. Thanks. I'll listen to the recording and go over your answer again.
Okay. Call two.
I have a question.
Any more questions?
Yeah. Hi. This is Malka. Malka Rachel. I wanted to understand the concept of, so we have choices, but what about inherited, like family inherited problems that had nothing to do with us, but are like just our lineage?
So we have to take the attitude that these are opportunities. And if we take the attitude that these are opportunities, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tov Hashem Lakol V'Rachamav Al Kol Ma'asav. So there is gold hiding under these problems. These problems that seem like burdens are blessings. And when we take that attitude, we will have greater chance of finding where the blessing is in the problem. And I can tell you amongst, you know, my yeshiva, we got Baruch Hashem 70 boys. And I can tell you that the deep guys, the really super creative guys, are generally, as soon as you see a kid that's deep, you know he has a drama life. I've rarely met somebody that had an easy life and were deep and incredibly ambitious. You know, so it just turns out that those of us that had, you know, a roller coaster life, actually, if we embrace it, we will be able to turn it into power. But if we don't embrace it and we keep running from it and keep thinking this is our problem, it stays our problem. If we say there's some opportunity here, there's some greatness here. I mean, you know, if you read the story of Oprah, it's an amazing story about a person who could have easily taken her past and just end up being like a drug addict or something. But she took the pain of her past, she gave it purpose and turned it into power. But that's our choice. You inherit pain, this is your choice. Give it purpose, turn it into power. If you don't give it purpose, it just becomes suffering. And so at least ask the question, what is the purpose to this pain? What is the purpose to these problems? What does Hashem want me to do? How do I step up to the plate? There's a story, it's a true story, about two girls in a high school. One was a terrible, terrible girl, and one was an amazing, amazing girl. And the terrible girl was, you know, invited to have a conversation with the guidance counselor. And he said, you know, why are you like this? And she said, well, you know what? My father was an alcoholic. My mother was a drug addict. They were very abusive to each other and to us. So what do you want? I mean, you know, what do you expect from me? Okay, fine. But then there was another girl that was really exceptional school. And she was asked, what do you think is the secret to being so exceptional? And she says, well, what do you want? My father was an alcoholic. My mother was a drug addict. They were abusive to each other, abusive to us. These girls were sisters. One chose to take it and use it to launch and be somebody different and help other people in that situation also cope and be different. The other one said, I have no choice. You know, this is a chain and a ball that I will carry for the rest of my life. And the other one said, no, this is an opportunity to grow. And this is a gift. And she turned it into a gift. The power of her choices.
We have time for another question?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so hi, thank you. I really enjoyed the share. So everything that you're saying on an individual case, but what about Klal Yisrael as a whole? I was reading this week's Parsha. I'm like, again, a klalot, again, negative, again, Hashem's upset with us. We go through the Midbar, we mess up a million times. We're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, we're going to mess up a million times. We're constantly messing up. It didn't make me feel very good about Klal Yisrael as a whole. I understand what you're saying about my personal avoda, but Klal Yisrael as a whole just seems to keep constantly messing up.
Right. Well, I don't think it's for us. I mean, Rav Kook says that Klal Yisrael is always ascending higher and higher. And so when it says that, you know, that there's a yiridus or dorot, Rav Kook says it's actually the leaders. That the Jewish people are ascending, but the leaders don't know how to lead them because they're more capable of what the leaders think they're able to do. And so Klal Yisrael, Rav Kook says, is actually ascending, even though we might not see that. But sometimes people make mistakes. I'll give you an example. Rav Kook says that, and he says this in the early 1900s, says we're going to witness a fall away from Judaism that has never happened in history. It will be different in terms of not only the numbers, but also the motives. He said, we had people that went off to Derech. That's not new to us. But it wasn't en masse. It wasn't a cultural movement. And basically, if somebody left Yiddishkeit, it was because Shabbos was too high a standard to live up to. Kosher was too high a standard to live up to. He said, but this generation, we're going to witness a fall away from Yiddishkeit that will be never in history like this. And it won't be because Shabbos and Judaism is too high a standard to live up to, but rather it's too low a standard to stoop down to. They will believe that they are more sophisticated intellectually, more spiritually awake, and more moral than Judaism. And that's why they're going to leave Judaism, Rav Kook says. He says, now this fall, which is terrible, is actually the climb of the Jewish people. Because what it's going to do is it's going to force us to teach a Torah that is up to their level. And so, you know, so I think we have a lot of people that are secular, not because they're lazy. I think we have a lot of Israelis that have phenomenal values, are deeply spiritual and deeply seeking, and they're waiting for the teachers to not talk down to them anymore, talk up to them, because they're ready for more. And so I think you've got people that are Moser Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. We're seeing amazing things going on in Eretz Yisrael today. But they are not so into Shabbos and Kashrus because it's too small for them, the way it's being taught, the way it's being offered. So I think Klal Yisrael is on its way up. I think we're in the Mashiach's times. I think we're, you know, I think as my partner, Benny Friedman, says that if our grandparents were to show up in the center square of the old city, and they look around at the old city and they go down to the Kotel, they would probably say, when did Mashiach come? Because it is so amazing what's going on right now. We are in Eretz Yisrael and more are going to be coming soon. They're going to be getting out of there as soon as they can. I'm quite sure of that. And I think we're in the good news phase of the drama of the Jewish people. But, you know, Judaism believes that every Aliyah starts with a Yirida. And just as I mentioned that, you know, every good fight has a golden lining underneath it that enables us to say, oh my gosh, how could I be so stupid to behave in a way that would define myself separate from God? Why would I ever choose to think that way? Why would I embrace a lifestyle that way? Anyways, I hope this helps. And, you know, thank you again, Judy, for setting this up.
I have to say, you're leaving us wanting more. So So we'll have to try and do something.
Where can we hear more of you? Where can we hear more of you? Do you have a website? Do you have
I have a website called rabbidavidaron.com, A-A-R-O-N. I've written 8 books, which you can get through the website or Amazon. My website has a library filled with audio files for free. And you can also sign up to my weekly bite where I also produce little animations. If you want more of this, there's plenty more that you can access, all as a gift. So just go to my website or just Google Rabbi David Aaron, A-A-R-O-N. Don't Google David Aaron because he manufactures shoes. So I work in soles and he works in shoes. So there's another David Aaron that's a shoe designer, but that's not my thing. I'm going to take off my shoes. Okay, shalom. Thank you very much.
Where is he based?
In Yerushalayim.
Wow.